22 Rembrandt etchings of Jewish and biblical subjects are on display at the Skirball Museum on the campus of Hebrew Union College, Jewish Institute of Religion. Museum Director Abby Schwartz is here to talk about special programs in conjunction with the exhibit. Welcome back, Abby.
Hi, Anne. Great to be here.
Tell us about the exhibition.
Sure. This is an exhibition that comes to us from the Westmont Ridley Tree Museum of Art in Santa Barbara. These etchings that are on view were collected by a couple named Howard and Fran Berger. They're from Los Angeles, and they determined once they started collecting these etchings to give them to the Westmont College, the museum of that college, with the expectation and the stipulation, actually, that an exhibition would be arranged and it would be traveled to university and college museums as well as general museums. And their feeling was they really wanted the world to be able to see these extraordinary images of biblical subjects, largely from the Jewish Bible. For many people, that is the Old Testament, and a few images that reflect New Testament imagery, as well as a few wonderful portraits, including a self-portrait of Rembrandt that is his earliest etched self-portrait from when he was 28 years old. So it's a remarkable group of images reflecting the patriarchs, Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, Joseph, and Potiphar's wife, a wonderful scene from the Book of Esther of Haman leading Mordechai in the town on parade. So these are all familiar subjects for a Jewish audience, but also very familiar for non-Jews. The reason being that many of the stories in the Jewish Bible are precursors or prefigure many of the stories of the New Testament. I think what's surprising or was surprising for me is that not only do they have religious implications in a country where it was a Protestant country and Calvinist philosophy and a country where churches were devoid of imagery, but these sort of cautionary tales, stories with moral imperatives, things that prefigure New Testament imagery and stories. As well, there's a political angle because many of these stories sort of reflect for the Dutch their having separated from the Spanish Netherlands, their pride in being strong in their values. And so a lot of these religious images have political overtones as well.
And there's a Cincinnati connection.
There is. And this was the biggest surprise for me. I mean, this is the great fun of doing research and looking through books and reading catalogs. And I was actually reading the essay in the catalog that was written for this exhibition by a scholar from Westmont College. And she opens with a quotation, which was a very, very lengthy, flowery quotation, reflecting the writer's, his own reflections about the recent Holocaust. This book that this was quoted from was written in 1946, so right after the war is over. And he writes about Rembrandt being someone who did not look upon the Jews as miserable. He cared about the Bible. He cared about Jewish people. He lived among them. I'm paraphrasing, but basically he was saying he wanted to show to Jewish audiences and non-Jewish audiences Rembrandt's connections with the Jews of his time. It turns out that this quotation in this book called Rembrandt, the Jews and the Bible was written by a scholar named Franz Landsberger. Franz Landsberger was a German scholar who was the director of the Jewish Museum of Berlin until the Nazis took him out of that position because he was Jewish. He had traveled to Oxford to give some lectures and made the very wise decision not to go back to Germany. This was in 1939. And while he was in Oxford, he was corresponding with Julian Morgenstern, who was the president of Hebrew Union College at that time, and who was in the process of rescuing Jewish scholars from Germany and other parts of Europe who would otherwise have probably been deported and sent to concentration camps and been murdered in the Holocaust. So Landsberger was brought to Cincinnati. He went from Oxford to Cincinnati. And in the Jacob Rader Marcus Center of the American Jewish Archives on our campus is all of the correspondence related to this. So we're also having in the exhibition the letter that Julian Morgenstern wrote to Franz Landsberger, finalizing the arrangements for his coming to Cincinnati, and the letter that he wrote to the American consul in London, laying out all of the stipulations for this immigration. So he immigrated to Cincinnati. He was one of several scholars. There were 8 or 9 of them who came here. Many of them did not stay. He stayed and wrote this book, also wrote the first modern book called A History of Jewish Art, about the whole topic of Jewish art in general. And he became the curator of the museum that preceded the Skirball Museum on the campus of Hebrew Union College and stayed there till he died in 1964. So it was a complete surprise to me and a wonderful connection. And so we have his biography and that quotation and his book and these two letters from the Jacob Rader Marcus Center of the American Jewish Archives that they've loaned to us for the exhibition.
Well, you also have 2 very exciting programs coming up. So tell us about this.
Yes, we do. We have a program on March 20th. It's a Monday evening. We have coming to Cincinnati for this program Dr. Shelley Perlov, who is a University of Michigan professor emeritus of art history and the author of an award-winning book, Rembrandt's Faith, Church, and Temple in the Dutch Golden Age. And she'll present a lecture exploring the complex relationships between Rembrandt's art and faith, with a particular focus on his fascination with Judaism. So it's called Rembrandt's Fascination with Judaism. And we are presenting this in partnership with the Meyerson Jewish Community Center. The exhibition will be open both before and after the program for viewing. So that's at 7 on Monday, the 20th of March. And then on April 6th, we'll be having a lunch and learn called Rembrandt in Context. And Dr. Christy Nelson, who is University of Cincinnati Professor Emeritus of Art History and a specialist in Dutch and Flemish art, she'll present an illustrated talk on Rembrandt's place in the Dutch Golden Age. We are looking at his etchings in this extraordinary exhibition, which is only one of the media in which he worked. We'll look at his prolific career as a painter and printmaker and the very unique milieu of Amsterdam in the 17th century. A light lunch will be served, and the exhibition will be open again before and after to see the show with Christy, with staff from the museum.
And I understand that one of the works in the exhibition is from the Skirball's collection.
Yes, actually, there's one work from the Skirball's collection and 3 works from the B'nai B'rith Klutznik National Jewish Museum collection, which was absorbed by the Skirball Museum in 2015. So the one work that's from the Skirball collection is very interesting in terms of connoisseurship and the history of, and the provenance of Rembrandt's plates and the way that his influence and his impact and his incredible command of the art of printmaking, how that continues to affect artists. Because the work in the Skirball's collection is actually a print that was made by a woman named Marion Weil in 1925. We don't know anything about her, except that she was looking at a Rembrandt etching. It's come to be known as Jews in the Synagogue. She was copying from the master, which is something that artists do to hone their own skills and to increase their own acumen as printmakers. So she copied this print. And then, of course, when she printed it, it's reverse of what you see when you look at the Rembrandt print, because it's a process that you put through a press on a plate, on paper, and then through a press. And so it comes out reverse. So that in itself is interesting because it tells us 350 years later that Rembrandt's influence is still being felt in the world of printmaking. The other 3 that are from the B'nai B'rith Klutznik collection are prints that are also in the collection we have from Westmont, the Berger collection of prints, but they're different impressions. They are actually impressions that were made in the 19th or 20th century. And we know that because the paper was analyzed. I had the fortunate opportunity to work with my colleagues at the Cincinnati Art Museum, who we put the paper under a microscope, and yes, they're etchings, yes, they're from Rembrandt's plates, but they were made much later in the 19th and 20th century. So that really opens a whole conversation about connoisseurship, about the history of the plates and who had access to them years later, long after Rembrandt was deceased. So you see different effects from different impressions, and the room is small enough that you can go from these three etchings from B'nai B'rith over to the ones from the Berger print collection and say, oh, look, this plate was reworked. There's some parallel lines on this step that aren't in the image that was from the Berger collection. So it's kind of that exciting opportunity to really learn more about the way that his work continued to be made many years later. And finally, in terms of what's so exciting about this show, is just the art of etching itself was raised to a level no one had ever seen before by Rembrandt. He made almost 400 etchings in his life. He pushed the limits of this medium beyond where anyone ever thought it could go by using different kinds of paper, by using different techniques, cross-hatching, parallel lines, getting extraordinary quality of light and dark, chiaroscuro, if you will, which you would expect in painting, but to see it in this medium, which is so painstaking, working on a copper plate through a medium of wax, biting it with acid, putting it in and out of the acid bath, having areas that are bitten more deeply, other areas that are not, using dry point where you actually go right into the plate and get this burr line that creates a velvety line when it's printed. I mean, it's extraordinary. And you can be nose to nose with these pieces and really see all this detail, which didn't know that that would actually be possible once it arrived with the kind of lighting we have to use. But they are larger than many etchings most people may have seen before. Some of the plates are quite large, and you really can see all the details. And of course, we have magnifiers as well to make that even more possible.
Well, it sounds like an extraordinary exhibition, as well as the programming. Thank you so much for joining us. Abby Schwartz is director of the Skirball Museum, located on the campus of Hebrew Union College, Jewish Institute of Religion in Clifton. The exhibition, Rembrandt and the Jews, the Berger Print Collection, runs through April 30th. You can find out more by going to our website, wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Ann Ehrenstein.